This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good to hear those tunes again. It's been a while, a couple of weeks away, but I am back, and it's Liverpool this weekend. Nigel Pearson's first game in charge, thereafter which the Hornets went six games unbeaten in the Premier League to reignite hopes of survival and lift Watford to the periphery of safety. Since that Super Six, it's been a rather sorry six. With no win in all competitions and a 3-0 defeat to Manchester United last weekend, the team who helped catalyse this whole run in the first place. It's all very convoluted, isn't it? Or rather, it doesn't really have to be. As things stand, Watford remain well and truly in the mix for Premier League football next season, with all the bottom seven all failing to win last time out too. All very much to play for and all very much to talk about on this, the Watford Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, returning and joined by Mike Parkin from the Rookery End podcast. Hello, Mike. Hello, Mike. Yes, are you there?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I've got you. Yes, you're there. Good. I thought you were ignoring me, mate. I thought you were so upset with the fact that I hadn't been here. You were like, no, I'm casting him adrift. I'm getting rid of him. Don't want to talk to him anymore. Good to have you with us. I believe that Tom Wicks from the Golden Pages of Watford Fanzine is here too. Hello, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Great to have you on the show with us. Now, gents, I referenced the game against Manchester United last week. Sadly, we're going to have to talk about it because it has been the most recent game. Mike, the horrendous run at Old Trafford continues. You've lost nine on the bounce now at Manchester United. In fact, I believe the Horns have never won at Old Trafford in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't tell the full story because I think the performances in the main at Old Trafford, certainly in the last two or three seasons, have actually been pretty good. Last season in particular, we're still kicking ourselves, really. We should have got the win last year. And you know what? I think even though it was 3-0 this time round, I think for long periods, the performance this time wasn't that bad. And it's almost this season in the microcosm, Matt, I think, that game on Sunday, because Watford were in the game for long periods, had some decent possession in the final third, but I think it's that area of the pitch, sadly, that's letting us down so badly. We're failing to capitalise on getting footholds in games, getting into really good situations in that final third. We're just not making the most of the ball we have. We're not making the most of the positions we get ourselves into, and it's costing us dear. I think ultimately Man United ran out comfortable winners. Watford ran out of steam pretty quickly, despite Sarr coming back on. And it was a disappointing afternoon. But I think it summed up Watford's season so far. And I'm not sure whether it should leave us hopeful or fearful for the rest of the season. It was a tough afternoon, really, to be honest.
It's an interesting perspective, Mike. And Tom, he speaks a lot of sense there, really, doesn't he, Mike? Because it isn't a true reflection. When you see games like that end up 3-0, Manchester United were clinical, I have to say. Bruno Fernandes in fine fettle, of course. But Watford had a few chances earlier on in the game. It kind of reminded me, actually, of a game when Man United were, you know, in the ascendancy under Sir Alex. They used to have teams come to Old Trafford and actually put it on them for, you know, 20, 30 minutes or so. Missed chances, rue chances, and then what would seem like it at the end of the day, be comprehensively beaten.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the difference between the top sides and those that are in Watford's predicament. It comes down to being clinical in front of goal and taking your chances. And had Troy been a bit quicker with that effort that he couldn't quite get away early on, then we might have been talking a different scoreline or a different result altogether.
Absolutely. And Mike, we've got to speak about the elephant in the room. I don't want to dwell too much on it, sadly, because I think every time we do a show, all I do is moan about VAR or moan about the fact that I have to moan about VAR. I don't really want to touch on it. But Ben Foster, not a fan of the handball rule. Troy Deeney, certainly not a fan. And Craig Dawson, not a fan either. What did you make of this one?
It's really difficult, isn't it? I mean, I think that people are very conclusive, saying, well, that's the rule, it's hit his arm, and so therefore it's handball. And I wouldn't mind that so much if we hadn't put up with Dele Alli's goal away at Tottenham, the game away at Southampton, when the guys literally shoveled it round the corner with his hand, and Southampton have gone on to win that crucial game. So it's just the consistency, isn't it? The fact that Watford seem to have been dealt so many controversial decisions via VAR, which is, you know, what it was brought in not to do. It was brought in to kill these controversial ones dead, and it just hasn't done that. And I don't mind the decisions being given as long as they're the same across the season. It just hasn't been that at all. And I think Watford have suffered. You know, teams who are down amongst the dead men often complain, don't they, about not getting the rub of the green. I think every team has had something go against them for VAR this season. But I think looking at the game itself, it came at such a key moment, didn't it? If that goal had counted, Watford could have gone on to do something. So more reasons for us to complain about VAR. What we can only hope as supporters, and I know many of us have complained about it throughout the season, yourself included, Matt. What we hope is that they will look back on this season, see how inconsistent it's been, and really, really work on it over summer. So when it comes back, hopefully Watford come back in the Premier League where VAR is. At least if we're in the Championship, we won't have to put up with it. But hopefully, that for the sake of us all, so we don't have to have these conversations, so Watford supporters aren't wringing their hands, ruining NAF decisions earlier on in the season, so they're not spending time on radio talking about it. They get it right. They get their heads together, work out why it's been able to work elsewhere in the world where they've implemented it, work out why it's been able to work in other sports. Of course, it's not comparing apples and apples, but it does work in other sports because they're decisive with the way they use it. They're transparent with the way they use it, and it's just not the case. Hasn't been the case at all this year in the Premier League. They've made an absolute ham-fisted effort of introducing it, and it's cost Watford dear, which is why I'm frustrated. But as football supporters across the land, all we can do is just hope that they get their heads together and get themselves right for next year, because it's been nothing short of a shambles this year.
It has been a complete shambles, hasn't it, Tom? And actually, not to dwell on VAR itself, but what Mike said there, it was a crucial time in the game. And I think as fans, you can come out of those sort of scenarios and people go, all right, mate, we'll stop moaning, you lost 3-0. But it's like, well no, because we probably wouldn't have lost 3-0 if that decision had actually gone our way. If they'd looked at that slightly differently, we maybe wouldn't have lost 3-0 because we would have been back in the game and then everything would have been different and maybe we'd now be outside of the relegation zone.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes it's difficult. It's easy to blame VAR, and you know, it's a convenient excuse for a lot of the time. I think, as Mike alluded to, it's not been deployed consistently. You know, the decisions vary from week to week, from team to team, it seems. But it does stick in the craw somewhat when it changes the game. I mean, the Dawson handball was correct. It touched his arm and it was rightly disallowed. But you know, it's the inconsistencies, the earlier the games early on in the season where we've been on the wrong end of the stick there. I think Will Hughes said in the week that their heads dropped after the Deeney goal was disallowed, and it must have a psychological effect on the players on the pitch, because it seems as though it's their job's being made a little more difficult with the added difficulty of VAR to play against.
And in terms of the form, Mike, it is 1 point from 4 games now. We spoke about the table at the top of the show as well. Just 1 point adrift still of Aston Villa themselves, not on a very good run whatsoever. You look at that bottom seven, all failing to get a win. So sometimes weekends like that, they could be a lot worse than what they actually were.
Yeah, and I think we said on the show last week that these two games, the game we're going to come on to talk about on Saturday against Liverpool and away at Manchester United at Old Trafford, these aren't going to be the games that define this run-in for Watford. You know, they were a write-off, in effect. I mean, that's not fair. We hoped to get something from Man United, but we weren't surprised to come away with nothing. The games that Watford need to perform in are coming later. Well, they're coming next month, really. And so I'm not too panic-stricken. It was just the nature of the result. And just to hear the sort of Will Hughes, they're talking about their heads dropping after not getting back into the game at 1-1. It's not really what you want to be hearing as a supporter, because what you want to know from this Watford squad is that they've got the guts for the fight. They can roll their sleeves up when things are going to go against them, because there's still a fair chunk of this season left to go. It's felt like we've been in the running for quite a while now, but there is still, you know, a good period of time to go, and there's going to, stuff will go against us, stuff will go for us. But when the going gets tough, we need to know that those guys are going to be prepared to roll their sleeves up and do battle when it's not quite going to plan. So hopefully they can move on very, very quickly from Manchester United. I suspect they're going to have to move on very, very quickly from Saturday's result as well. But it's all to play for still. It's absolutely there. This Watford squad is a good one. There are winnable fixtures coming up, but the problem Watford have got is that they've been in winning positions before. They've had winnable fixtures over the last month or so, and they simply haven't capitalised. And they're looking a lot more like the team that started the season than the one that that burst into life when Nigel Pearson turned up. So something has to change, whether it's a bit of luck, whether it's just a goal flying in off someone's backside or an own goal. You know, Brighton had the luck with Mariappa scoring an own goal. Perhaps we're due a little bit of that from somewhere. But something has to kickstart this running, and it has to happen soon. Whether it can happen on Saturday is, I was going to say it's up for debate, but is it really? I don't think there's much debate as to whether Watford can get anything on Saturday.
Well, who knows? West Ham certainly gave them a scare earlier in the week, didn't they? It's always a goal off the backside as well, isn't it, Mike? That's always what it is. Perhaps we can get a goal off the backside. It's always the backside. But it is. Listen, it's shaping up to be incredibly fascinating down there. You'd imagine it would go right to the wire this season, that Premiership, Premier League relegation dogfight. This is the Watford Fan Show. We've got plenty more coming up.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Watford Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Mike Parkin from the Rookery End podcast. Tom Wicks from the Golden Pages, a Watford fanzine, joins us too. Just before we get back to the guys, a quick update from all the Europa League action across the UK this evening. Wolves are through. They lost away 3-2 at Espanyol, but went through, of course, on aggregate with an emphatic first leg victory. Arsenal currently goalless with Olympiacos. They're ahead 1-0 on aggregate. That's just approaching half time. Celtic goalless also with FC Copenhagen. Of course, they'll go through on away goals should that remain the same. And Manchester United currently beating Club Brugge 3-0. Of course, the game was 1-1 in the first leg. Bruno Fernandes with a penalty. We've been there before. Odi Ighalo with his first goal for the club, and Scott McTominay putting United 3 goals in front. But this is the Watford Fan Show, of course, who lost to Manchester United at the weekend. I think we're done with that now, chaps. We're going to move on. And actually, we're going to move on to a bit of sponsorship chat, because a few bits of news have come out this week. One of those is that the club have signed a rest of season deal with American Airlines. Now, this is worth around $250,000, Mike. Quite big news.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that Watford have proved to be quite astute, I think, on is looking at ways to bring money into the club, and I think they're probably looking forward to try and make sure that they can secure revenue streams that aren't reliant on Premier League TV money. And you know, Watford have grown exponentially as a club since they were taken over by Gino Pozzo and Scott Duxbury came in as chairman. So I think this it looks on the face of it like a pretty impressive deal, going into partnership with a worldwide recognised brand. And yeah, I think it's nice to see from time to time. Seeing as they haven't got any wins to report on, at least they can report on some money coming into the club.
It's funny, isn't it, when these stories come out, of course, when the club perhaps aren't in the best run of form. I mean, I like the idea of travelling to the US and having a Watford FC channel, to be fair, on the in-flight entertainment. There's always a plus.
Yeah, definitely. And if they need anyone to test it out, I'm willing and able to commit a flight and return flight to New York and back just to check out a few Watford goals on the in-flight entertainment. Sounds good to me. But yeah, the club are in that. I mean, it's important. I think it's important to note that the club are in incredibly good hands and in good shape. If you look, I mentioned we'll do the podcast. I've been doing that for 10 years now. And if you compare the club now to the state of the club when we started doing that, it's absolutely chalk and cheese. Deals like this, I think, can only be a positive thing for the football club and its future.
Yeah, Tom, another one that's come out, and perhaps this might get some column inches in your fanzine, I don't know, but that's the old London Marine retailer. So apparently the Tropical Marine Centre is going to have some advertising hoardings in and around the club. And for me, it was the quote that got me, that the idea behind joining Watford, this is what they said, was trying to generate the interest of the people who want to buy a tank for themselves and want to have an inspirational aquarium at home. So there you go, Tom. Bit of an inspirational aquarium at your home?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure they'll have many Watford fans in the market for that sort of thing. But each to their own, I guess.
It's a funny old thing, isn't it? In terms of the fanzine for yourself, Tom, how long has this been going for you now? This is your first time on the Watford Fan Show, so just quickly tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, so Golden Pages was started in 2015 by David Anderson, and he up until last year he could no longer continue with it. So I just asked whether he was happy with me taking it over. And so we've had the first issue that was out in December. Very enthused by the comments and the sales and the positivity from that. And we've got another one that will be prepared for April/May. So it'll be out at the end of the season. And I've just been over the moon with how well it's been received within the Watford community. And I'm sure Mike can attest to that, being involved with from the rookery end. But it's fantastic, and it's really enjoyable doing. I've met so many great people doing it, and hopefully it continues long into future seasons.
You buy into that, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the great things about being involved in sort of fan podcast or fanzines is sort of meeting the wider footballing world, really, and you realise how many other people out there football means so much to, and it's great. It's incredibly rewarding being part of the sort of fans media side of things, and Golden Pages itself is a fantastic read, and I'd recommend any Watford supporters who haven't got hold of a copy do so after they've downloaded the podcast, of course.
Good plug, Mike, and I'm glad to see you've got your priorities in order too. I just want to quickly move on to Luis Suarez. No, not that Luis Suarez. I'm sure once he starts playing for Watford, that gag is going to be run and run and run until those wheels come off. But he's been in the news as well this week. He's 22 years old. He's at Real Sociedad at the moment. He's scoring a lot of goals in La Liga. He's a Colombian who signed for Watford, 3 years ago or so now. The club have since come out and said, listen, we want him to very much be a part of our plans next season. This is another promising acquisition. I know the club have already got him, but it will be very much like a new signing come next season should he come into the side.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit like next season was a target season for a lot of these youngsters that were coming through. Suarez is one that's picked up a lot of attention. Hernandez is another one that's out on loan. We've got the Peñaranda, who hasn't quite worked out. He's been on sort of on ice for a couple of years now, and of course Jao Pedro as well, who's come in. So it feels like we've got a lot of talent that feels ripe for next season. So I think there'll be a lot of fingers crossed in and around Watford that they can stay up in the Premier League for a number of reasons, because the future looks incredibly promising if we can stay up and bring these players in. They've been owned by Watford for a little while, but they've been really cutting their teeth in top flight football in across Europe. So to see them hopefully come in over the summer and rejoin Watford as a Premier League club would be good, because like I said before about the sponsorship deals, it's about trying to balance the books, it's about trying to be as not as reliant on TV money as possible, and getting these players in and getting them ready out on loan is a way of doing that, and avoids having to dip into the transfer market and pay huge fees, which is what the whole Watford setup is, that the scouting network that's been made the Pozzo family so famous. It needs to start paying dividends, and it feels like they were hoping that this summer might be one of those times when it starts to kick in. So fingers crossed. There's so many reasons why it's important, desperately important, for Watford to stay in the Premier League, and they need to sort of bring these players through is high on that list.
Yep, some young, exciting, attacking play potentially coming into Watford's starting lineup next season. Let's just hope they will be in the Premier League for that. And the next challenge is Liverpool. They arrive at Vicarage Road on Saturday. It's the evening kickoff. Here's what Nigel Pearson had to say in his press conference earlier on today.
It's been a dose of realism. I've known right from day one it's not going to be straightforward. When we were in the position that we were in, the players continue to work very, very hard. And I suppose my own view on it would be that I understand and I realise that, yeah, we do need to start winning games again sooner rather than later to continue with the progression. We're very much in with a fighting chance of retaining our Premier League status, and that's what it's all about. We've got to make sure that our own performances are as good as we know that they can be. Last week we were a bit disappointed with ourselves because, you know, in a game which was not exactly full of quality, we were pretty comfortable and probably were guilty of making mistakes that we've not really made in other games. So, you know, a lesson for us that we go into this weekend's game with, you know, an opportunity to put that right.
A dose of realism, says Nigel Pearson, ahead of that game with Liverpool this weekend. Daryl Yarnmut, he has said that Watford need 4 or 5 games to avoid relegation. Tom, what say you? Have you got any hopes ahead of this game on Saturday and your realistic expectations for now until the end of the campaign?
I mean, it's a difficult one, Saturday. I was reading earlier that there's the last 11 Premier League games is a cumulative score of 32-7 in Liverpool's favour. And we've got we're the lowest scorers in the league and they've got the most steely defence. So on the face of it, it's going to be a difficult one. I think we can take positives from the Nigel Pearson's first game at Anfield early on in the season. I think just to avoid the disastrous 8-0 defeat like the Man City game early on in the season, if we can come out of the Liverpool game unscathed, then we've got a run of some really important games that we have to pick up points in now. It's not a stage where we can hope for a point here and there. We have to be picking up points against the likes of Palace, against Burnley, Norwich and Newcastle. They're a given. So I'm hopeful that we've got enough to survive. We've certainly got a good enough squad on paper and talent-wise. I just hope that Pearson can knit it all together and keep us in the Premier League.
OK, gents, it's been great having you with us for the past half an hour or so. I've got to say, we're going to finish with something slightly lighthearted and we'll be very quick with this because we're running out of time. But the Premier League announced there is going to be a Hall of Fame for the Premier League. Premier League legends are going to be inducted. I believe the opening round of nominees is going to be mid-March or so. Mike, if you had a couple of names to throw into the mix, Watford players that could be inducted into the Premier League Hall of Fame, who would you have?
Oh, I think Ben Foster's got to be up there. He's had an incredible career in the Premier League and for England. But for me, it's got to be Troy Deeney, absolute Watford legend in this era. So, yeah, get him in that Hall of Fame.
And what about you, Tom?
I think Ekin Kapu is one of the most underrated midfielders in the league. And the other person I'd have is Jose Holabas. He's a record setter with his disciplinary record. So that's worth mentioning.
Good stuff. Mike Parkin from the Rookery End podcast, Tom Wicks from the Golden Pages of Watford Fanzine. They'll be back with us next weekend as we reflect on what hopefully will be 3 points against Liverpool. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.